Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Thrilled that you're here. Welcome, of course, to Tuesday. It is March 20th, 2007, and about 1 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Thank you for joining us. I'll be listening on frequency 3.215 on shortwave, and of course you're listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. Welcome to you, and welcome if you're listening via our website, franklyspeakingradio.com. Did I say republicbroadcasting.com? It's republicbroadcasting.org. I don't know what I said. Well, anyway, back to this lengthy and ridiculous news story about this guy who's he's a doctor from Iran. He calls himself a Persian immigrant, and he's very, very upset about the film 300, saying that it misrepresents Persians in history. It's immaterial to me. It's just a good movie. But we'll get into some of the specifics, of course. Anyway, he goes on to claim that this is this Persian ambassador, who's a black guy, and they go on to say that that appeals to white Americans because he's black and therefore he's evil. And he goes on to say that he has piercings. So that is also anathema to white Americans, that nobody likes piercings at all or anything like that. Never mind the fact that I have several myself. We're supposed to be really upset and offended by that. And then, of course, Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda's trailing behind him. Al-Qaeda wasn't even around back then. So this guy's just completely... he claims this movie is exaggerating the threat from Iran and using the war on terror. But it sounds to me like he's really reaching personally. But nevertheless, maybe you've seen it and you can comment. Goes on. The king's wife dares to talk and invokes the passage from Plutarch on women in Sparta, saying, quote, "We are the mothers of men," end quote, to the freakishly body-pierced bully who is the Persian ambassador, and a number of slogans about freedom, faith, etc., which sound like they came from Fox News or the Bush administration, are spouted throughout through King Leonidas, which is ridiculous also. Because, again, how you can look at Leonidas, played by Gerard Butler, who is Scottish, by the way, and heavily muscled and obviously in pretty good shape, as is everybody in this film, and compare that to George W. Bush is beyond me. How can you look at this guy who's, again, a Greek hero from legend, based on this movie, by the way, is not based on historical accounts. It's based on a comic book of the same title. Okay, and it's filmed panel for panel, just like the comic book was. So, but this guy, of course, he's never mind that. He doesn't pay attention to the facts behind the film. He goes to fearmonger in his own particular fashion, obviously to the Iranian crowd, since this is in the Iranian press. But again, what I'm saying here is that he is reaching for this. He's making comparisons between Leonidas, who I just mentioned, the king. Okay, who personally goes out on the battlefield and personally fights himself. Does anyone ever going to say, gosh, that's like George W. Bush? No. Hell no, in fact. Not in a million years. But, of course, the propaganda continues. It says, so King Leonidas represents the fearless king who wants to keep Sparta free and to preserve their way of life and democracy. These mantras are repeated throughout the film. Even though the Spartan Congress does not want to declare war, only King Leonidas knows what is needed, and he makes the unilateral decision that he and his 300 Spartan men must go to battle for truth, justice, and the Spartan way. I don't think I was the only one who, by the end of the film, had a sense that Leonidas was a bit like President Bush. There he goes. What, are you nuts? Can you imagine George W. Bush ripping off his shirt? He's all in shape and toned up and muscle. And he says, give me a sword. I'm going to Iraq. And I'm going to pick 300 of my best men. Of course, my chief, my captain here, Dick Cheney, we'll have him rip off his shirt, too. And he'll grab a sword and he'll run out there in his leather Speedos. And we'll just go and duke it out. And, of course, we'll take Robert Gates with us and all these other great muscled heroes that you can compare to the Greek legends. Who would ever think that? I mean, just thinking of Bush and Cheney and leather Speedos is repulsive enough to me. I need to go cleanse that thought from my mind. Stay with us, back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom. But without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the mark of the beast and and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, a sort of movie review here in length because of the political overtones and the political commentary that is associated with this film. And we're talking about the film 300, by the way. I myself, I love movies. Hate television, but I love movies. I think movies are certainly a great way to capture the imagination and to really create something visually impressive. And of course, if it's a good movie, it'll work on you in many, many different ways. There are a lot of bad movies out there, very few good ones, and I did truly, truly, truly enjoy this movie on a number of levels. Now, the guy that we're referring to here, this doctor, a Persian immigrant, which means he's Iranian, writing in the Iranian press, is slamming this film and comparing the Greek hero King Leonidas to President Bush, and he says, "I'm sure I'm not the only one." Yeah. Listen, because you have homoerotic fantasies about the president in a leather Speedo with a sword and a smile, doesn't mean you can drag me along with you on that one there, Pally. So, anyway, he goes on. He says, "I'm sure this is a coincidence, since President Bush has himself never fought a war, and since he will retire soon and have an airport or library named after him." Excellent point, pal. You just contradicted yourself, but let's continue. But, on the other hand, King Leonidas lays down his life for the mantras and slavishly emanate from Bush's official pulpit of Fox News and other media outlets since the tragedy of September 11, 2001. Okay? So Leonidas lays down his life for the mantras that slavishly emanate from Bush's official pulpit of Fox News. So if the film with 300, which focuses on freedom, which it does, and you compare that to Bush's freedom, he's saying that Bush himself has tainted the notion of freedom so greatly that any time freedom is invoked or even spoken of, it automatically should be equated to the Bush administration and should automatically be called slavish. Ridiculous, right? I think so. He also is making the comparison there about Leonidas to Bush, and he says Leonidas will lay down, he lays down his life for these ideas that slavishly emanate from the Bush administration's official pulpit of Fox News and other media outlets since September 11th. Would Bush lay his life down for his troops? Hell no, he wouldn't lay his life down for his troops. He probably wouldn't lay down his life for his own family. But nevertheless, of course, still, this guy sees a comparison between the two, so we go on. He says, so perhaps it is correct to equate the Persians of 300 with some of our enemies today, the Iranians and King Leonidas as our war hero, i.e. President Bush. Wrong, pal. Another side note to this battle is the clear identification of the Eastern Oriental Persian army with the Muslims, almost taken from medieval imagery of the Moors who attacked Europe. They are dark, they have head covers, they are very angry and disorganized. On the other hand, the great general of Leonidas, who receives continual praise from his king bears, an uncanny resemblance to the Jesus in Franco Zeffirelli's landmark Jesus of Nazareth, and even experiences Christ-like suffering. Okay, so because he suffers, then it's Christ-like. And because he looks like a character in another movie that who was Jesus in this particular film, that makes him Jesus as well. And he says, thus Bush, with Jesus at his side, defends Western civilization against the Eastern Islamic-esque enemy who are coming to invade the West and take away our freedoms. Again, propaganda, fear-mongering, and all the like. Just what you'd expect, I suppose, from a surly Californian Persian immigrant. He goes on, the Persian ambassador slash Al-Qaeda agent is killed in Sparta, and so war begins, and the Persians make plans to take away Spartan women, children, and freedoms. Now, I should say this in the film. The ambassador, or Al-Qaeda agent, if you want to be an idiot, who gets killed, is not the reason why war was starting. The war was already begun. The Persian army was already marching on Greece to avenge a battle at Marathon, for those who know history, in which the city-state of Athens basically defeated the Persians to a certain extent. So anyway, they were going after Athens, but in order to, of course, attack Athens, the Spartans said, well, hold on a second here. This affects us, too, because you're in our neck of the woods. So the battle didn't start because of this. The battle was already planned and already happening, so he's wrong on that count as well. He goes on, King Leonidas is not going to let this happen, so he takes his elite fighting force to the Pass of Thermopylae to stand against the million-man slave army of the Kingdom of Persia. Again, he's being facetious there. I don't think it was ever stated that there were millions in the film. But he goes on. Then appears the powerful and homoerotic King Xerxes, who first tries to deal with the Spartans by sending a conveniently stereotypical angry, fat, black man to brandish his whip at them. What? So what's stereotypical here? He tries to deal with the Spartans by sending a conveniently stereotypical angry, fat, black man to brandish his whip. Stereotypical of what? When have you ever seen a Persian angry fat black man with a whip that you can compare it to anything else? What's stereotypical about that? The black guy being fat? He just talked about the black guy who was an emissary, the ambassador with his Al-Qaeda posse, who was all ripped and pierced, and now he's saying that the blacks are stereotypically fat. Anyway, he goes on. Then comes the almost baboonish Persian army composed of monsters who cannot speak. Although they resemble Iraqi insurgents, no they don't, cinematic events unfold differently than they have in President Bush's Iraq. The 300 Spartans kill thousands of the enemies of freedom without receiving so much as a scratch. So again, he's saying this is exactly like the War on Terror, but yet completely different than the War on Terror. We go on. The battle between the outnumbered Spartans and their Persian enemies took place at the Pass of Thermopylae in the year 480 B.C., In the movie version, the Spartan warriors kill the Persian soldiers without any losses until one wave of the Persian forces begins throwing fanciful explosives that shoot shrapnel into the chiseled physiques of the Greek heroes. Are we to believe that the improvised explosive devices which are killing our soldiers in Iraq and which the Bush Leonidas administration claims to be manufactured by the Iranians slash Persians. And he goes on, Iran was called Persia until an official name change in 1935. Can suddenly appear in a 5th century BC battlefield? Hold on a second here. They're basically lighting these little jars with presumably some sort of explosive element in there, and they're throwing them, and then they explode, and pieces of the jars go flying. He's saying those are improvised explosive devices. Completely different. Okay? They would be more comparable to grenades than IEDs, which are typically hidden on the side of the road, disguised as something else, hidden under dead bodies, and then when triggered, they cause an explosion. Triggered by how? Oh, I don't know. Movement, of course. You know, if you see a body and you roll it over, maybe an IED will blow up. But the point is it's more of a booby trap, an IED, than an assault weapon, which is what they're talking about, which would, again, be more comparable to grenades. But he's saying, oh, there you go, the IEDs, check it out. Oh, propaganda, propaganda. I don't see it at all, personally. And if you look at explosives and fireworks and gunpowder and things like that, yeah, they were around. So, you know, I don't think that's off base. Anyway, he goes on. Along with the IEDs, the doom of our Hellenic heroes is encompassed by a deformed half-Spartan who turns traitor and shows the Persians the backdoor route, which results in the entrapment of the Greeks. Although King Xerxes comes one last time to convince the freedom-loving Leonidas to surrender, and even tempts him with the whole of Greece just for giving his obedience to the Persians, our hero does not give in. In an almost sexual gesture, Xerxes holds Leonidas from the back and asks him to submit, to bend before the Persian ruler. The king goes into a dream about his wife, his child, the city, raises the battle cry, and then dies along with his entire regiment, while the Spartan Congress, crippled by bribery and backstabbing, debates whether or not to send aid. So, a couple of key points here. Xerxes in the film is portrayed as a giant. Probably, I don't know, 8 to 10 feet tall. And sexually ambiguous. He does, there are some sexual, some homosexual overtones to that thing where he says about the king puts his, Xerxes puts his hands on Leonidas' shoulders and asks him to submit. A couple of key points about that. First of all, the fact that they made him tall, and I don't think that that was necessarily a historical account, although it's not refuted anywhere. It isn't even brought up in this one. Of Xerxes, I don't know how tall he supposedly was, but this, to me, is almost makes him like a Nephilim. Which is very interesting. He calls himself a god, and he looks, you know, what you'd expect a Nephilim to be. Somebody who's just a big old perv, honestly, and just wants to have sex with anyone or anything at any time. You know, typically like we'd hear about it. And basically just a sick, sick, sick person. And meaning Nephilim, not Persians. So for all the angry Persians out there, that's not what I'm talking about. So anyway, I think that was very, very intriguing. In addition to that, and much like we heard about with Patrick Heron when he talked about the Nephilim and sort of their whole way of existing and the giants that they spawned and the also the animal-headed gods of mythology. Okay, and we can look at, of course, the most commonly known would be things like the Egyptian gods and whatnot, the jackal-headed god and the bird-headed god and so on and so forth. There's actually a scene of a goat-headed person. So, again, this is really intriguing to me on a lot of levels as I'm watching this, because I'm seeing things like, again, a Nephilim influence. Whether or not that's true or not, regardless, it's a movie, it's entertaining, but it does sort of highlight to those who know, which I'd have to imagine is not the most of the viewing public in America or the rest of the world, of the things that we've talked about on the show, about genetic engineering, the Nephilim, and so on and so forth. But it's very intriguing because, again, Xerxes is portrayed as being this giant god, this god-king type of thing. Anyway, it goes on. When he talks about this, about Leonidas dying, you know, because that's what happens. I mean, if anybody has not seen the movie or not really up on their history, and you're saying, wow, these 300 Spartans fought and killed off, you know, 300,000 Persians. No, they died. But it's an amazing story nevertheless. But he talks about the Spartan Congress crippled by bribery and backstabbing, debates whether or not to send aid. To me, that's a slam against politicians in general, not necessarily a slam just against Democrats. Because if you look at the war on terror, which is what he's comparing this to, Democrats and Republicans both are saying, hey, look, you know, we're not going to authorize aid to Iran. You know, we're not going to authorize an invasion, if you will. Stay with us back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom. But without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Love come quick, love come in a hurry. There are thieves in the temple tonight. They don't care where they kick, just as long as they hurt you. There are thieves in
King
the
Radio
temple.
We're doing a lengthy news segment here. I guess you could call it a movie review. And I've done this before. I've done it with several films. I certainly did it with National Treasure when that came out. And, you know, my assessment, that's just simply a two-hour recruiting film for the Freemasons. But this one is really, what's intriguing about this is that not simply what I see in it. And we've talked about movies before. I've got a list of 15 movies that have some sort of technological thing that you should probably check out for its significance long term. But this one is actually inspiring all the politicians to speak out about it on, you know, all over the world, which is really interesting to me. So that's why we're picking this apart. If you're wondering, why are we talking about movies? We need to be talking about 9/11. No, this actually is already referenced 9/11 one time. So we'll get to that. The story goes on. One Spartan survivor sent back to tell the story, and so the heroism of the 300 Spartans who fought a hopeless battle against the overwhelming Persian slave army is remembered for posterity. This event galvanizes Greece into a unified force that can withstand the Persians. The moral of the story is that 300 men sacrificed their lives for freedom, their way of life, and democracy, something echoes in today's broadcast updates on the war against so-called Islamic terrorism. Again, another coincidence. But let us address the historicity. Is that even a word? I don't know that that's a word. Let us address the historicity of the film and the way in which the film uses history to mount a defense against Western civilization, against the invading other. do we really need to look at the historicity of this? Because, again, two comments, Dr. Derry. He says, quote, it is these insinuations in the film that are more troublesome to me as a Persian immigrant in the U.S. than as a historian of antiquity. And then again, my response is not so much to the inaccuracies of the film, but rather to its ultimate motive and possible use in the current issue of the war on terror. So he's like, let's address the historicity of this film. No, let's not. Moving on. Such jargon relating to freedom and democracy, as used in the movie 300, is utterly untrue and exactly the opposite of what is revealed in the historical sources. It was not the Persians who were the slave nation. In fact, the Persians allowed the different peoples of their empire to carry on their lives and traditions as they liked. Now, that is accurate to a point, but from what I've have read and know, basically what basically happened with the Persian Empire is as they went and conquered various countries, they did allow them to govern themselves, but they were a part of the Persian Empire. Now, again, if you are somebody who is concerned about your sovereignty, for example, here in the United States, let's say the United Nations came in and said, hey, look, we're just a governing body. We want you to be a part of this world government. You guys can go and do your own thing. You can still govern yourselves, but you will be a part of the one world government. What do you think Americans would say to that? They'd say, you know where you can stick at United Nations or whomever would be running the show. So the idea that the Persians were this great and benevolent empire is preposterous. They're saying, yes, you could still govern yourselves, but then again, you're still subject to the to Persian rule, overruling certain laws, perhaps, probably some sort of tribute, excessive amount of money, and so on and so forth. And, of course, you probably would be recruited into the army to serve, as any empire would do, simply draft people in because you got to send people to go and fight your battles to expand your empire. So I don't know where he gets that from. But, of course, he's a historian. He's a doctor. He teaches at the university out there in California. And I'm just a peon, know-nothing talk show host. So don't take my word for it. Do your own homework. And this is just my opinion. Anyway, he goes on. Thus, the ancient city of Babylonia and the Greek-speaking settlements on the coast of Anatolia continued to use slaves, but in general, the Persians hired people and paid them regardless of sex or ethnicity. So they offered them a job, and they were equal opportunity employers. Okay, so what? It's immaterial to the film. Again, he goes on. In the end, what is most troubling is the timing of the film's premiere. The fight between the Greeks and the Persians, two civilizations representing the West and the East, is screened in many movie theaters just when the United States and Iran are facing off in a bitter battle of words and ideologies. Yes, just when. Because this hasn't been going on since 2002 when George W. Bush called Iran a member of the Axis of Evil, has it? This is just now happening. And the film's just now. In fact, they just filmed the film last week and said, hey, now would be a good week to make this film. Ridiculous. But again, fear-mongering continues. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, we get labeled conspiracy theorists they're reading too much into this. I think that I read less into things than this guy does. This guy's crazy, in my opinion. But he goes on. The two countries claiming descent from these two ancient peoples. On one side of the movie, the Persians are shown as the representation of all that is alien and distasteful to the white Western life. Then there is the added ingredient of black people, homosexuals, pierced and tattooed people, who are in many ways represent the archetypal outcasts in the collective imagination of Middle America. Really? Did you hear that? Typical outcasts of Middle America are black people, homosexuals, people that have piercings and tattoos. Well, gosh, I'm white and I'm straight, but I do have piercings and tattoos. I'm an outcast in Middle America. I didn't even know that until the good doctor from California, who is a Persian immigrant, not an Iranian, of course, he calls himself Persian because apparently he came over here in the early 30s or before when it was still called Persia. But now he's a Persian immigrant because he's proud of his Persian heritage. And, of course, that's going to inspire a lot of anger over there in Iran. I didn't even realize I was an outcast here in America. But now that I've read that, I know my role. I know my caste. And I'll go crawl under a rock with the black people and the homosexuals as we are here in Middle America to be outcasts. White Middle America, excuse me. Stay with us back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, I'm your host, Frank Whalen. I'll give out our phone number, but I want to finish these stories up here, so if you don't mind waiting, you're more than welcome to, or just call at the end of the segment. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. So again, I just found out that I am an outcast in white middle America. I didn't even know that, but thank God this guy's here to tell me. He goes on. And on the other hand, there are the beautifully sculpted men who are moral, righteous, and willing to die together for freedom and democracy. They obviously represent Western values. I suppose they would if you're all paranoid and Persian. It goes on. In a time when we hear the sirens of war over Iran or Persia, it is ominous that such a film as 300 is released for mass consumption. To depict Persians or Iranians as inarticulate monsters raging toward the West, trying to rob its people of their basic values, demeans the population of Iran and anesthetizes the American population to war in the Middle East. That's true. You know, I was very much against the war on terror, but now that I saw this movie over the weekend, I'm all for it, baby. I'm out there getting my Go War on Terror t-shirts printed up as we speak. I have instantly, in the course of sitting in a theater for 2 hours, become completely and totally anesthetized to the War on Terror. Now I'm all about bombing Iran. I'm all about it. I love it. It's a great idea. Let's go, in fact. Let's start it right now, the War on Terror. Let's just kick it up a notch and start. Let's just bomb all of them, right? That's a great way to do it. And now that I've seen the film and I've been sufficiently anesthetized, I'm on board with this, right? No. Because this guy is an idiot. And while I don't necessarily disagree that a lot of Americans are relatively clueless, we are not that susceptible to television and movies and music. Okay? That's just a simple fact. You remember all the celebrities who were coming out against the war and whatnot and how they just got blasted? They didn't get blasted because of what they were saying. They got blasted because why should we care what they think? Just because you're famous, that doesn't mean anything. You know? In the Dixie Chicks, I thought they got a raw deal. The Dixie Chicks, of course, they just basically said, Natalie Maine said, I'm ashamed that President Bush is from my state of Texas, or something along those lines. And people stopped buying her CDs and all that, you know, the whole group, obviously, stopped buying their CDs and things like that. And it took a beating in country music. So what? Who cares? If they have an opinion, they should be entitled to it. Now, granted, you could say, you know, they don't need to be sharing that opinion, that celebrities and persons of influence should stay out of politics for the most part. And I think that you can make a case for that. The point is, though, she wasn't saying, I'm ashamed that Bush is from Texas and anyone from America should be ashamed that he's our president. She didn't say that. When you start trying to influence people to think a certain way, I think that's where you overstep your boundaries. And that's what a lot of the celebrities were getting slammed for leading up to the Iraq War. Not for expressing their opinions, but for trying to influence other people to feel the same way or to believe them. I know what I'm talking about. I'm an expert. I've done all the research. You should trust me. I never want to be that person. And that's why I've always said, come up with your own opinions. Come up with your own insights. Do your own research. Do not rely upon me for your opinions, for your facts. Do your own homework. It's not up to me to educate the masses, and it's not up to me to influence them. In fact, that's the last thing I want to do. I tell you simply to think. But I am expressing my opinion about this story, about this movie. So he goes on. This way, Bush, Cheney, and other compassionate conservatives can more easily rain their precision-guided missiles down on the heads of my parents, family members, and other Iranians, establish Abu Ghraib detention centers, and perhaps take revenge for the death of the 300 Spartans in antiquity, and finally bring democracy, peace, and a better way of life to the East. What? Okay. This is how stupid we are, apparently. That we're going to go to the movie theater. We're going to plop down whatever it is, like $9 to see a movie or something. It's about $7.58 here. We're going to go plop down that money. We're going to sit there and watch a movie for 2 hours, and we're going to come out and go, yes, rain down bombs on Iran to avenge the 300 Spartans who are portrayed as living actual people in this film. Guys who are not dead, guys who are not Spartans, but actors! But we're supposed to believe that this guy is saying that, you know, he's in such a tizzy about this whole film that he thinks that this movie coming out, okay, is going to inspire a new war on terror. Preposterous. But he goes on. Iraq was such a success, now the Spartan Marines need to head out to Iran and destroy it in order to protect our American freedoms. The fantasy movie 300 is just another of the propagandistic tools to reiterate this preposterous belief and to get the American people, children and adults, ready to endorse another shock and awe operation. I am saddened that we never seem to learn from history. Okay, again. He calls it a fantasy movie, but he takes it so personally that he is saying that this is being portrayed as a historical account. Which, from what I understand, in very broad generalizations, this film is a historical account. But it does take liberties like anything does in Hollywood. Yet, this guy is so concerned and so peeved about this. And what is his main point? It's not the historical inaccuracies. Yet, at the end, of course, he closes with, can we never learn from the past? But that's not his beef. He states it twice in the same paragraph. His beef is the fact that this movie is going to be used to launch the war on terror onto Iran. I completely and totally disagree with that. I did not take that from the movie at all. Now, maybe I'm just one of those rarities, people who can go and watch a movie without being brainwashed by it. But apparently, this guy has a very, very low opinion of Americans and yet calls himself an American. So, actually calls himself a Persian immigrant to the United States. But the point is that I don't remember the good doctor from... he's a professor now, so he's got all the qualifications. He's much smarter than you are, and he's certainly smarter than I am. But I don't remember hearing him complain when the book came out. Now, when I say book, it's also called a graphic novel. Translation, comic book. Comic book. This film is based on a comic book. Now, if you want to take stabs at historical inaccuracies, you should probably go to the source. The source of the movie is not the history books. The source of the movie is a comic book. Did I mention it's a comic book? Yes, it's a comic book. Now, I don't know when the last time you picked up a comic book was, but when you saw maybe Superman using his heat vision to blow something up, did you see that and say, surely heat vision is real? Surely I should go out and try to shoot laser beams out of my eyes and burn things. Surely this man who's flying around with a cape on, if I also don a cape, surely I too will be able to fly. Do you really think that's, I mean, infants maybe? Like little kids, five-year-olds, who have, you know, maybe they're not being observed by their parents too well, and they decide they're going to go and leap off the roof. Well, then you're an idiot. But you're not talking about grown adults here. But the point is that the fear is out there that this film is going to dramatically ramp up the public opinion against Iran. Okay? I disagree, again, wholeheartedly. But this movie is based on a comic book, a graphic novel. Now, I have seen the graphic novel, I've seen the comic book, and I've seen the film. And the film actually, they do their best to film actual, you know, panels from the comic book and turn them into, you know, obviously what they call motion pictures. So it's completely based on the comic book. That's the whole point. They're trying to recreate the images in this book on screen. So this guy's whole point is moot. And what does he complain about? That it's released in theaters now. Now, again, never mind the fact that Iran has been in the crosshairs, obviously long before, but publicly been in the crosshairs since Bush named them as an axis of evil country in like 2002 or 2001. But he's peeved about this now. In 2007, as the tensions are at an all-time high, the tensions have been at an all-time high since 2003. Once Iraq looked like it was a done deal, Iran has been in the crosshairs. Okay, and they obviously have been before, but this is when it really started, the finger-pointing and the whole fear-mongering and all the BS stories about, oh, Iran is arming the militants. Let's go bomb them, too, because we did such a great job with Iraq. But yet, this is exactly the good doctor's point. But I went to Amazon.com to read the reviews of the comic book, okay? It's called 300. It's written by Frank Miller. Now, here is the Amazon.com editorial review. It says, quote, "An emperor amasses an army of hundreds of thousands." Oh, hundreds of thousands. I thought it was millions. But again, the good doctor is an idiot. We've already established that. "An emperor amasses an army of hundreds of thousands drawn from two continents to invade a third continent and conquer a tiny divided nation. Only a few hundred warriors stand against them. Yet the tiny nation is saved. It sounds like a plot in a preposterous fantasy novel. It is historical fact. In 481 and 480 BC, King Xerxes of Persia raised forces in Asia and Africa and invaded Greece with an army so huge that it drank the rivers dry. Then they entered the mountain pass of Thermopylae and encountered 300 determined soldiers from Sparta." Dot, dot, dot. Goes on. Writer-artist Frank Miller and colorist Lynn Varley retell the Battle of Thermopylae in the exciting and moving graphic novel 300. They focus on King Leonidas, the young foot soldier Stelios, and the storyteller Dilios to highlight the Spartans' awe-inspiring toughness and valor. Miller and Varley's art is terrific, as always. The combat scenes are especially powerful, and Miller's writing is at its best in years. Read it. Do not, however, this is from Amazon.com. Do not, however, read 300 expecting a strictly historic, accurate history. The Phocians did not scatter, as Miller describes. His Spartans are mildly homophobic, which I didn't pick up on, which is goofy in such a gay society. Miller does not say how many Greeks remained for the climactic battle, but you'd think 300 Spartans and maybe a few dozen others, but there are actually between 700 and 1,100 Greeks. Herodotus' histories does not identify the traitor Ephialtes as ugly and hunchback or even as Spartan, but he was, obviously, and that was one of the gripes that the guy had, the good doctor, of course. 300, it says, establishes a believable connection between Ephialtes' affliction and behavior, but his monstrous appearance, King Xerxes' effeminacy, and which I didn't also pick up on in the film, and the Persians' inexplicably pierced Gen X African looks make for eyebrow-raising choice of villain imagery. Nonetheless, 300 is a brilliant dramatization. Again, do not read 300 expecting a strictly accurate history. Yet this guy is saying, oh, it's historically inaccurate, but that's not what I'm upset about. Now, that's the Amazon.com review. From the same review, it says from Publishers Weekly, quote, The Battle of Thermopylae ranks as one of the ancient world's most important events, where Spartan King Leonidas and his 300-man bodyguard met the massive army of Emperor Xerxes of Persia, who intended to add Greece to his empire. To no one's surprise, the Spartans were destroyed. While the battle bought the Greeks enough time to defeat the mighty Persians, it was more important for the metaphor it created. Occasionally, one has to lose to win. This is clearly the inspiration behind Miller's attempt to place this epic tale in the context of a graphic novel. Translation, comic book. The film is based on a comic book. This guy is peeved about a comic book. All of Iran is upset about a comic book. And all of the politicians out there, the Republicans, are lifting up a comic book to inspire us. Much like Bush peppered all of his speeches with quotes, although you might not see them as quotes, but exact words that were spoken in the movie The Patriot, staying the course, and so on and so forth. The same way, they're going to try to glom onto this. So Democrats are going to try to hijack this and say it's racist. Iran is going to try to hijack this and say it's racist. Republicans are going to try to hijack this and say it's about freedom. Again, last point here I want to make. If you go to Amazon.com and look up 300, you'll see that it was released when? Oh, yes, not in March of 2007, when tensions are at an all-time high. The book released in December of 99. So, Dr. So-and-so, put that in your pipe and smoke it. This is from PressTV.ir, obviously out of Iran, came out Sunday. An Iranian archaeologist and expert on the Achaemenid era has called the Hollywood film 300 racist and hostile towards historical realities. In an opinion piece published on the Cultural Heritage News Agency website, Professor Sharak Razmaju, I'm sure I screwed that up, accused the film's producers of fabricating history and insulting the Iranian culture. He went as far to suggest that Hollywood should be sued in court for charges of racism. Do you see how important this discussion is? I mean, this is a big deal. Anyway, it goes on. Experts agree that the most splendid period of the Persian Empire was the Achaemenid era. Much of Iranian identity was formed during that time. No wonder, then, that Hollywood is attacking Iranian culture by exploiting this period in its history. Under careful study, it would be difficult to find fault with the Achaemenid kings and their democratic way of life. He goes on. 300 ultimately reveals the directors and the authors' complete lack of knowledge in history, ancient art, and archaeology. The film fabricates a false account of history in an attempt seemingly designed to insult the Iranian identity. The director has denied any political motivation, but political intentions behind the movie appear glaring. Like the ignorant filmmakers themselves, one imagines that only an uninformed audience could enjoy the farcical events portrayed in the movie. I enjoyed it. I guess I'm an idiot. But, hey, maybe it's just me. Again, sometimes a movie is just a movie. But, again, if you want to read into it, I can counter every one of these points and say how this film makes the Bush administration look like a bunch of idiots, and I may do that. This one came out on the 19th. You can find this at www.bcheights.com, and it says the following. Everyone seems shocked by 300. Despite hostile critical reviews and low industry expectations, the film took in $70 million in its opening weekend. More surprising than the numbers, though, has been the political reaction to the movie. With the help of some stunning visual effects, the film recounts the ancient Battle of Thermopylae, in which a group of badly outnumbered Greeks repulsed a massive Persian invading force. Director Frank Snyder nicely captures the valor of the Greeks in their famous last stand. Though often completely ridiculous, 300 is an immensely enjoyable movie, unless, of course, you happen to be Iranian. The Iranian government and most of its people, it seems, are incensed by this film. A recent headline in a state-run newspaper accused Hollywood of, quote, declaring war on Iran. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's cultural advisor weighed in, too, suggesting the United States is trying to humiliate Iran in order to reverse historical reality and compensate for its wrongdoings in order to provoke American soldiers and warmongers against Iran. Okay, so the whole point of this film is to make you angry at Iran. That when you see the Persians and you're seeing them killing Greeks thousands of years ago, you're supposed to be so angry that you walk out of the theater going, those damn Iranians, let's get them. Obviously not my reaction. Nevertheless, why the outrage? After all, the battle took place almost 2,500 years ago, long before Islam was even a religion. So right then and there, that negates all of his Al-Qaeda, Islamic extremist allegations and insinuations in the first article we talked about. But he goes on, regardless of politics and the religiosity of the Iranian regime, many Iranians see the movie as an attack on Persian history, and many Iranians are very proud of that past. Still, one can't help but laugh at some of the charges being thrown out by the Iranians. The largest government newspaper said 300 is, quote, serving the policy of the U.S. leadership, end quote. Right. You know how much Hollywood loves the Bush administration. That's a good point. Interestingly, responses have split along political lines at home, too. The left has been largely scornful, tending to agree with the appraisal of the New York Times critic A.O. Scott that 300 is, quote, as violent as Apocalypto and twice as stupid, end quote. But many conservatives have been heaping praise on the film, applauding it as a heroic tale devoid of political correctness. There is something, the author goes on, refreshing about a movie that's willing to buck cultural niceties to make a point. Post-9/11 films have been slavish to political correctness and have suffered for it. When Tom Clancy's book, The Sum of All Fears, was remade into a movie, the radical Muslim terrorists became neo-Nazis, lest we offend jihadists. Ridley Scott's crusade epic, Kingdom of Heaven, was so afraid of offending Muslim sensibilities, it was almost unwatchable. Got to pause here, folks. Back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. Tail end of hour number three. And we're chatting, going through some news here tonight, and spending a lot of time on this long, drawn-out movie review, and for good reason. Because this thing is, it's going to be a political talking point for a long, long time. But again, to conclude this last story here at bcheights.com, it says, "This is not to say that 300 deserves a Best Picture nod, nor is it to suggest that it is going to introduce a new era in Hollywood filmmaking. But if you're looking for an entertaining movie that isn't afraid of controversy, you could do a lot worse than 300. That's their assessment. I would say this. Well, before we do that, let's look at this right here, because I think this is an important point. The whole idea of some of this controversy is that seeing this film is going to completely make you hate the Persians of 2,500 years ago, and therefore want to exact revenge for Spartans from the same time frame on Iran right now. Ridiculous, 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 and here's the proof. This one came out on the 19th, so technically earlier today or yesterday if you want to be precise about it, angusreed.com. "Very few Americans believe Iran represents a danger for their country, according to a new poll by the New York Times and CBS News. Only 10% of respondents think Iran is a threat to the U.S. that requires military action now, down 11 points since mid-February." Yes. So everybody saw the film and everybody's eager to bomb Iran, except that the polls are indicating that people don't believe the administration. Wait a minute. The administration led by President Leonidas, I mean George W. Bush, the strapping, muscled, tanned and toned leader of the Spartan army, I mean the American military. George W. Bush is going to throw himself on his sword, basically, and take one for the team, that he's going to go out there and die for his men in his elite fighting unit? What? How can this be? It can be because that's the nonsense coming out about all this film. Everybody's got to weigh in on this. It's ridiculous. Folks, if you want to go see the film, go see the film. Judge it for yourself. But obviously, it's not shaping the ideas and the mindset of the American people. It says, conversely, 65% of respondents think Iran is a threat that can be contained with diplomacy now, while 18% say the country is not a menace to the U.S. at this time. Here's the poll question. Which comes closer to your opinion? Iran is a threat to the United States that requires military action now, or Iran is a threat that can be contained, or it's not a threat at all? Okay? Now, again, most recent polling data from March 10th. 10% said it's a threat now. 65% said it's a threat that can be contained. 18% said not a threat. Now, that changes quite a bit. Mid-February, all right, 21% said we require action now. 57% said it can be contained, and 14% said it's not a threat at all. Okay? It goes on. Members of the Bush administration have accused Iran of supporting Iraqi insurgents by supplying them with weapons to use against American forces. When members of the Bush administration talk about Iran's involvement in Iraq, do you think they're mostly telling the entire truth? Are they telling the entire truth, mostly telling the truth, but hiding something, or are they mostly lying? Telling the entire truth, 14%. Mostly telling the truth, 56%. Mostly lying, 24%. Not sure, 6%. Does that sound like people who are anesthetized to the war on terror? Does that sound like people who are like, go ahead, George, do whatever you want, go bomb some stuff? Does that sound like people who are saying, I'm so inspired by this movie, 300, that I want to go out and join the military so I can go kill some Persian descendants? No, it doesn't. Completely and totally refuting and negating every point made on the issue right there in that lengthy hour and a half news segment. We'll take your calls coming up here this hour, my friends. If you would like to weigh in with your thoughts, feel free to do so. 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Stay with us. Quick break here as we pause for station identification for our affiliates, but we're back in about 90 seconds.